Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
I'm so excited for our next guest, the star of the Academy Award. Oscar-nominated The Last Ranger, South African short film nominated in the category for short live-action film at the 97th Academy Awards. But this is not the least of what this particular little film that could has already achieved. It is a multi-award-winning film. It won the Best Narrative Short Film at the Pan-African Film Festival, Best Narrative Short at Toronto International Women Film Festival, Best Narrative Short and Best Youth Actress in Liyabona Mhokoza, the younger star of this film at LA Independent Women Film Awards. The Cleveland International Film Festival won the Clover and Maggie Award winner and Audience Award Best Short Film winner or runner-up rather, Black Star International Film. It was the best short film in that festival as well as the Best Youth Actress. Holly Shorts Film Festival finalist for Best Film. And in addition to that, it also won best Screenplay and Best Actress for both Liyabona Mhokoza and our guest this evening, Avumile Kongo, who garnered several other awards as well. Welcome to Point of View. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. How are you?
Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm proud. I'm happy. I'm a little emotional because I watched it today.
Yeah,
I did. Thank you for giving me a little sneak peek. And I have to tell you, the film was so, the depth and the subtlety of the film are very deep. I mean, it was a journey, you know, it's you, really. You're the main actress, and you carry it. But the messaging of the film, for the sake of our listeners, The Last Ranger leans into, I suppose, exactly what you would imagine is game ranging, but specifically anti-poaching game ranger. And you, Avumile, play Kuselwa, this game ranger, one of the last that we have looking after some of the last of our rhino. Tell me about the moment you received the script and felt, this is a story I would like to take part in telling.
First of all, I think one thing is that when we get scripts in South Africa, it's very rare that we get to choose what we get to be a part of or not, you know? So when you get someone sending you a script for a short film, you're immediately curious about it and you hope to be pleasantly surprised. And the writing in the script was amazing that you are compelled, because I often say that when you're getting a good script, not much is required from you. You know, there's less work. You only concern yourself with being present and performance. And this is what the script was like to me. And when I read about the character, I thought, oh my gosh, so much depth in this character. And at the same time, nothing about it is on the nose. So I think what I enjoyed when I was going through it is just the excitement of having to interpret this role, how I got the sense of it and directing it in how I wanted or felt that I resonated with the character. So when I looked at it, I mean, I got the script the day before and I had to submit the following day. So sure. I looked at it and I started breaking it down. And I mean, she immediately jumped at me because there were certain things, some similarities that I could use as a gateway. And I latched onto that and I just built a wonderful inner life for her, which sort of anchored every single scene, really. And the rest of the film was really anchored from a wonderful inner life that I was able to create from it. And then I sent it the following day. They wanted to see me again. I tweaked a few things and sent it back again, and I'm just like, I really do have, I hope I get this role. It was because it's the one role that it's very few that I get to really resonate with a role, and this is one of them. So the rest is history.
Sure. Yeah. I'm so glad you did. So I want to talk a little bit about that process that you're talking about. We've seen you in films like Deep Blue Sea, Deep Blue Sea 3, Deep State, Raised by Wolves, but there's so much, to your point about things not being on the nose, there's so much about Kuselwa that we will never know, that she has clearly lived through. And in a 28-minute film, I had empathy for a life lived that you never articulated in words. Help me understand that process, that moments where you tear up, moments where you react to things. Do you write, some actors will sort of create a life story for the character. Did you do something like that?
Yeah, I when I read about Leah, I also understood that I needed to support her. And so I needed to, because she was coming in for the first time. I didn't even know this, actually. I thought they'll probably get a kid that is experienced, but it nonetheless mattered that I support her.
Yes.
And so one of the ways that I wanted to do that was to give myself a backstory that will communicate to the relationship that I have with her, even to the lines that she would say to me. Because at one point I have to ask myself, why does it matter that this line must be here? Why does it matter that she must say this to me? Why would she give me I almost said something.
Yes, of course.
Spoiler alert.
No, I'm with you. No, we won't spoil.
I needed to justify some of the scenes, and that required me to create a kind of backstory that supported both myself and her. And I'm so glad, because when we got on set, she gave me the kind of support I did not even expect or anticipate, because she's quite a present kid, but also quite generous with her emotion, quite trusting as well, because it was the first time. So we'd go through the lines and you give her just an understanding or context of what is going on, and immediately she lashes onto that and she gives it an emotional life, just unique to her. So it was quite incredible what was happening with her. It was the most astonishing, actually, experience for me on set with an actor.
Yeah, she was spectacular, and your chemistry was palpable. So thank you for that. And I'm being more careful talking to you, trying to avoid spoilers, than I'm trying to avoid a diplomatic spat by what I say about Kagame. So I'm very focused, I promise. If you're just joining us, the person that you're hearing on the line with me is Avumile Kongo, who is the lead in the movie, the Oscar-nominated film, The Last Ranger, nominated in the live-action short film category, not foreign language, not cinematography, the whole thing, top to bottom, competing against the best in the world after a slew of awards won at a range of film festivals. I want to turn our attention a little bit to a few of those themes. Obviously, it's about rhino poaching and rhino poaching rangers. And I'm sorry we weren't able to speak to David Eastley this evening, who's your co-star as well as the writer and the conceptualizer of the story. But I'm sure you have as much ownership of this as he. Remind us why this matters so much to be told in a narrative, not just in a docu.
I'm so glad for this question, because you see, documentaries are equally important, but the challenge with them is that the focus would be on statistics. So it's usually quite clinical, which is equally important. But the challenge with that is that it alienates a lot of people from the conversation. The wonderful thing about this script is that we're humanizing the conversation and we're making it accessible. And so there are many elements that we're dealing with it. You're dealing with the rhino poaching, but at the same time, you're looking at the human aspect of it, really the contradictions that human beings all have to contend with on the daily. And the fact that as a human being, you can believe in one thing, you can have contrasting realities, right? Because you will deal with someone where they know that they're making a wrong decision, but it's as wrong in as far as one aspect is concerned. But on another side, it's I need to feed my family, right? And I think I like the approach that this script used, because we used a non-judgmental approach to say that there's the issue of rhino poaching, which we're leading with. However, you cannot have this discussion in isolation to the socioeconomic disparities that we find on the ground, because rhino poaching would not exist if we were not finding communities that are in vulnerable socioeconomic issues where people are ending up having to make decisions. Now, we can argue about the issues of people have choices, but that's another sophisticated conversation when you're dealing with issues of the stomach. And I liked the fact that we could have this conversation, simplify it, because I think another element to it is to say that if you are to combat this issue, then you have to make the people on the ground custodians of the solution and not just invite them when it's suicide, which then speaks to the issue of community-based conservation. So it's quite a, I thought it was a wonderful way of having this conversation and broadening the conversation and make it less elite, right? But also perhaps invite other broader conversation to say, you know, when you're looking at career aspects, maybe here's something, you know. So I like that. We're covering so many elements. There's the human condition, there's the rhino poaching, there's the socioeconomic aspects, but also a wonderful story told in isiXhosa.
I was going to come to that next.
You know, led by myself and Liyabona, directed by Cindy, who is a woman, a story told through an African lens.
Yes. Not a helicoptered in sort of fundraising arm saying 700 down to 2 or whatever. That was absolutely palpable. And I loved, I won't give it away, but I really did love the inclusion of the lady during the credits. That was stunning to see. Now, let's talk a little bit more about the embracing of Indigenous languages in our storytelling. You know, is it Nelson Mandela who says, you know, understand what to speak, meet a man and you'll understand his mind or something like that. Speak to him in his language and you'll understand his heart. It's just, you know, I say it to my non-vernacular speaking friends all the time. You're missing out on all the fun in South Africa on Black Twitter because all the jokes end in a different language. But there's a celebration, It's different to say I'm big or I'm wild in English than to say it in isiXhosa.
Yeah, you know, and I don't think people understand how empowering it is for me, you know, for a storyteller to be able to tell a story in their own language. First of all, the nuances unique to a language. Okay.
Yes.
So to be able to communicate certain things that I know in English would have landed differently, and to be able to speak it and command certain things in my language just gave me just the sense, a confidence unique to this experience. And also, I think what was with the language aspect of it, it is so wonderful to be able to tell a story that resonates with the global community and it's still in isiXhosa, right? Because for me, the whole thing is, it's wonderful to not have to contort yourself, to not seek to appease or to appeal in order to gain access into a room, but you're clearly getting into that room from a place of authenticity, because I think people are waking up to the fact that there are many other stories out there besides the Western stories that they must be told in a particular way, that we can resonate with stories from a human level. So it just commands people to get out of that comfort zone and be curious about other people and to hear these stories, right? But I think fundamentally for me is that you never have to contort yourself in order to gain access to anywhere you're going. You can just remain true to that story, tell it as authentically and as courageously as you can, and people will listen.
I mean, we've been taught that with another little, quote-unquote, little film that could, like the likes of Parasite, which exposed us to the idiosyncrasies
Roma.
Of South Korean, Roma, exactly, culture, and the, specifically not just slapping a language on a Western experience, but specifically that national experience. In addition to that, another part of our Indigenous experience in South Africa is our musicality and our storytelling through song.
Oh,
the score of this film is collaborated on and composed by the Tanda Choir from Khayelitsha, as well as wicked composer John Powell. So bringing these worlds together and creating just beautiful music. And you had a screening in Khayelitsha where the Tanda Choir performed. So I'd love to know how that was received.
Oh my gosh, it was incredible. I think, you know, Rufilwe, I think the most amazing things, we always talk about representation. And I think sometimes we have that conversation for the sake of having it, because maybe it's the politically correct thing to say. But to actually experience what that means, right? When I was sitting there and these kids were watching this film, and they could see how their singing was affecting the entire mood of the film and the entire mood of the film, to be validated, just your voice is being validated in that space, and the power that it holds and what it can do to people. Because that film, I've seen it from the beginning stages, and just seeing it going through just different scores, and this is the one score that we settled on. And when I watched it, it felt like I was watching the film for the first time, because it was the first time I was affected that way by it.
Wow.
So you can never underestimate music as a powerful form of storytelling. You can never underestimate what representation means, because it also means, I mean, one of the kids was saying, I never thought I could be part of a film that is possibly considered to win an Oscar.
Yeah.
I never thought. And that already tells you off possibilities are everywhere.
And impact.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So it was quite incredible. And all of us, they were sitting there, and at that moment, it just equalizes everything. Because essentially you're there and you're reminded of where you come from. They're reminded of where they're coming from. And you have these big dreams, but there are certain dreams you don't dream because you think they're too big. And in that moment, in that screening, suddenly you walk out of that room feeling like, oh my gosh, the sky is not even the limit.
No,
there's
just
no limit
the start
to what I can do.
Speaking of the sky, I'm not sure exactly the name of your cinematographer, apologies, but the views and the vistas, the set of the Game Reserve was a paid actor, by the way.
It
was another reminder of just very simple rural South Africa is really something we don't treasure often enough and enough in general. But I've asked you all the deep questions. Please, can I get to the trashy ones? What are you wearing to the Oscars on March 2nd?
That's my favorite question.
Oh, good. I hope everybody's going. I hope Lia Bong is going to be there. I think it's going to be an incredible showing. I mean, I'm remembering when the entire cast of Tsotsi went. It was just so lovely to see them in the audience. Yeah, so what's the plan?
There's a designer that I have in mind. So we just actually, because I was trying to figure out who do I want to work with. So I was looking at the different designers, and we sat down with a friend of mine, Andy, and we decided on a specific designer. So we're still to have a conversation with him. So I can't exactly say, but if he says yes, that's the only time I can say, okay, he's doing it. But yeah, I like this process. I like this process of trying to figure out what to wear. What silhouette am I going with? Am I wearing lace? What are we doing? Are we doing a bodies?
Oh, I'm excited for you.
Yeah, but I'm pretty certain that if he says yes, but you know what? No matter what happens, I'm definitely going to wear a stunning garment.
Oh, that absolutely. We have no doubt about that. And you've got the frame for it, and you've got the face for, good Lord, the big screen. You look stunning even in a Rangers outfit, in a 4x4 in the Outback. So you'll be fabulous. Avumile, it's been such a pleasure catching up with you, wishing you all the best for March 2nd. I know there will be some screenings, and I'm not sure that we'll have theatre screenings, but gosh, it would be nice to see this in schools. It would be lovely to see it in curricula.
Oh.
We'll keep an eye, obviously, on the team, on Cindy and everybody, to look out for announcements and from your PR company to help us understand when those screenings might be. I won't put you under pressure for that if there aren't any on the tip of your tongue.
No, they aren't. I know that there's going to be a Manhattan one, which is going to be online. And I wonder if we're going to be able to access it from South Africa, but we should be able to. We should actually be able to. So they will, but I will keep posting that, because I think once that is out and then people can just watch, I think this will be the screening before the actual Oscars.
Okay.
And for free, I think.
Last question. Is that Tandy in the movie?
the last shot is.
Yeah. Okay. Beautiful. Yes, that last shot. Okay, got you. All right. Yeah. You will understand when you watch The Last Ranger. Thank you so much, Afumile Kongo. I am not going to spoil a damn thing about this experience. I knew nothing going in except Ranger, and everybody else should feel the same way and discover those 28 minutes alongside Thando Choir, yourself, Leabona, and David. Thank you so much for joining us this evening on Point of View.
Rufilo, thank you so much for also taking time to actually research the film and the wonderful conversation.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.